It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Well, welcome to Quantum of the Weekly, number 82. You will again forgive me in this one. I'm very tired. I've just flown overnight, Air Korea, and was not able to get any sleep. So we'll do what we can with this. We're going to travel all over the world again. Korea, we're going to go to England, the US, Burkina Faso, Portugal, China, Australia, and Canada. But let me begin, first of all, with thanks and an apology. Thanks to those people who contact me about this and who give me information. It really is fascinating. I'm sorry I can't use it all. And thanks to those who offer corrections as well. So last week we spoke of a poem by the Wuhan doctor who died, and we spoke of him as being a Christian. Now, it turns out that this information, although widely circulated and circulated by normally reliable sources, is almost certainly false. So apologies for that. I normally check things as much as I can. In this particular instance, because it came from three reliable sources, I felt, okay, you know, we don't need to go any further with that. But I was wrong, and apologies for that. So have a wee listen to this. What do you think this is? That, when I initially heard it, you would think, for me, it sounds like singing out of, you know, Soviet Russia. But it's not. It's from South Korea. It's from the church. That is from the actual church I was in last Sunday. And it was a men's choir. It was really quite remarkable. And it's quite a remarkable experience going to Korea. Do you know that 22 million of the 53 million people would profess to be Protestants, most of those Presbyterians, and most of those evangelical Christians? Do you know that the largest Methodist church, the largest Pentecostal church, and the largest Presbyterian church in the world are all in South Korea? Do you know that it was through the dedicated efforts of missionaries from the United Kingdom and Australia and America in the 19th century that this fruit came about? And did you know that the Korean church, for the first time in decades last year, actually did not increase? In fact, it declined slightly. So I was there at this conference to consider some of these issues and to look at things from a Christian perspective, which is always a difficult thing to do as a stranger. But nonetheless, it was a remarkable time. And any of you who are listening from South Korea or you have Korean ancestry, you're an absolutely wonderful people, and may God continue to bless and encourage you. And here's something else that's a little bit encouraging. We've been speaking about Franklin Graham and the continued threat to religious liberty in the United Kingdom. Now remember again, let me stress this again. We're not saying that Franklin Graham speaking depends upon whether you agree with him or not, whether you like his politics or not. We're talking about it as an issue of freedom of speech. And that was taken up by the leader of the House of Commons, Jacob Rees-Mogg. Listen to this.
Mr. Speaker, no platforming is a particularly disagreeable modern trend. And although venues are allowed to take their own decisions about whether or not to host Franklin Graham during his upcoming visit, like all service providers, they must be careful not to discriminate unlawfully on grounds of religion and belief. The UK has robust protections for freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and the price of living in a free plural society is tolerating views and beliefs we disagree with or are even offended by. And this is fundamentally important. It is a sad truth that many people who tout themselves as being liberal are only liberal about what they like and are very intolerant of the views they disagree with.
I think that's wonderful, and I think it's very encouraging that we have a politician saying that. And I do think there is a pushback on these issues, but we must continue to fight the good fight in that respect. But then a sad story that comes from the United States. The Boy Scouts have, I think they have something like 3 million members, but they have filed for bankruptcy. And most of that is to do with financial claims against them for child sex abuse. More than 12,000 Boy Scout members have been victims of childhood sexual abuse at the hands of 7,819 abusive troop leaders and volunteers. They actually even have a series of files known as the perversion files. Well, it's such a desperately sad case. But also what is desperately sad is that the Boy Scouts, which largely began as a Christian organization, has very much moved away from its Christian roots. And it's become a victim of contemporary woke culture. Let's move on to another issue. Let's go to another part of the world, Burkina Faso. But before we go there, let me offer a contrast with this. The BBC have just put out a clip of somebody talking about the difficulties of getting a haircut as somebody who identifies as bi-binary, bi-gender. And I was going to play it, and then I decided not to, because it's not fair on the poor messed up kid who's involved in it, and who's obviously going to come in for a lot of abuse. But it is the ultimate in narcissism and self-absorption. And it's pathetic for the BBC to be putting this out. I haven't seen any clips at all about what I'm going to tell you about just now in Burkina Faso. In Burkina Faso, a pastor and at least 23 others were killed after gunmen attacked his church in the northeast of the country. I think last year there were 4,000 Christians in Burkina Faso who were killed by Islamist militants. Now that's news that we should be talking about. That's something that's really serious. But we live in this self-absorbed narcissistic culture where only the issues that our elites think to be worthwhile are the ones that they mention. Are the people of Burkina Faso not really that important? I'm sorry, I'm not being racist, but if this was happening in America or it was happening elsewhere, in say in Australia, this would be constantly on the news. But it's happening in Africa and it involves religion, so who cares? Let's just talk about whether bi-gender people can find a safe space to get their hair cut. Well, let's move on to something else. And this came from a listener, and I'm very thankful to get this because it's dealing with euthanasia in Portugal. And Pedro Fonseca, and Pedro, I apologize if I've not pronounced your name correctly. But he sent in this information that we're going to see the Portuguese government voting, almost certainly voting in favor of accepting euthanasia, despite the doctors not wanting it, despite the nurses not wanting it. The politicians are only going to discuss it for 157 minutes. That's all they're allowing. And, you know, I don't know. There's a statement from a socialist MP, Isabel Moria, who said in a debate on TV that there are no absolute rights. Human life is not an absolute right. Now, in a strange kind of way, a lot of Christians would probably agree in the sense of saying, you know, what we call human rights, absolute rights, and so on. Ultimately, it's only God who is absolute. But that's not what she's meaning. What she's meaning is the demeaning of humanity. And this is going on more and more and more. It's one of the things I was talking about in Korea, that how Joachim Phoenix talks about no one species having the right to dominate another, and that, you know, our lives are just as much value as a cockroach. And you move from that very quickly to, say, like the Rwandan genocide, where people were saying that people of the opposite tribe were just like cockroaches. Well, I think euthanasia is, I don't know, something very sad and something very anti-human about it. Let's come to the subject of eugenics. What is eugenics and why is it in the news? Well, one of Boris Johnson's advisors, Andrew Sabisky, a 27-year-old, actually, I think he's a Catholic. He's certainly a member of the Tractarian Society. So that makes this story even more curious. Has been forced to resign because in an essay or a comment he made in 2016, he argued in favor of selecting, according to intelligence, you know, birth and so on, and IVF and things like that. Now, what's fascinating about this is that eugenics is still considered to be wrong. Now, why do I say, I think it is wrong, by the way, but why do I say that it's fascinating? Kenan Malik wrote in The Guardian, "Eugenicists believe the state should encourage the enlightened to have more children and discourage the lower orders, whether the poor, the disabled, or the immigrant, from breeding." Now, they argue that it's a concept that began with Plato, but now is and came to Nazi Germany and then the white supremacy movement. But what the Guardian left out is that eugenics was extremely popular amongst progressives. Indeed, it was Margaret Sanger who founded Planned Parenthood, who wanted abortion to be used to eliminate black children, as many black children, especially of working class backgrounds, as possible. So it's a very selective understanding of history. But that is one of the fascinating things, that one of the reasons eugenics cannot really be spoken about is because of Hitler. Because he practiced the ultimate in eugenics, getting rid of the disabled, getting rid of the weak in society. He, of course, considered the Jews to be that as well. It's funny, Richard Dawkins kind of weighs in on this. Now, I know what Dawkins thinks about eugenics, and I know that he thinks it should be a discussion that we can have. And to some degree, I'm certain that he supports it. He says this, though, in one of his tweets. "Just as we breed cows to yield more milk, we could breed humans to run faster or jump higher, but heaven forbid that we should do it." Now, what's fascinating about that is his only reason for not doing it is heaven. Heaven forbid. I know he's using it in a kind of swear-like sense, but it really is. Why not? Why not breed human beings like we breed cattle, unless you think that human beings are different? And as Christians, we do. We care for the disabled and the poor. We're not like the so-called progressives in Iceland who've managed to eliminate Down syndrome by eliminating everyone who's got Down syndrome.
What matters?
What matters?
What matters?
Inclusivity.
First Nations recognition.
Belonging.
Trans visibility.
Authenticity. Diversity.
Passion. Diamonds.
Supporting our family.
Okay, let's come to Australia. And this year, it's the Mardi Gras, and millions of dollars will be spent in it. No chance of it being cancelled. But again, in the madness that is overtaking the world because of transgender, there's this amazing story of this woman. Just listen to a little bit of her talking about something.
"This is a women's issue. I am a woman. I have the authority to speak about this. I have the right to speak about this. And for the people that say, well, that stuff never happens, it's happening."
Her name is Arielle Scalerlia, and she is a lesbian feminist. And she was booked to appear at the Sydney Mardi Gras, but she has been cancelled because although she was the only lesbian due to speak at it, she had said that some men have abused self-ID to rape women, and that's transphobic. The ultimate sin in today's society is to be transphobic. So get this. The only lesbian to speak at the Gay and Lesbian Festival in Sydney has been banned because they are deemed to be transphobic.
"Supporting queer artists.
Happiness.
To be whoever you want to be.
Love.
Protest.
George Michael.
Humanity.
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 Self-expression.
Connection.
Equality.
What matters?"
Let's go back to China and think about the Wuhan virus. It was interesting being in Korea. I felt very much the odd one out, not just because of my skin color. That didn't really bother me. but I was one of the very few people not wearing a mask. And you can understand why there is, in some senses, a justified panic about it. And we do pray that all that will be over. But someone told me an interesting story that in Wuhan, where it began, that was the center of the church being attacked and crushed. And the Chinese church is under attack. And I've mentioned different things. I don't think I've mentioned the Catholic Church before. Well, there's this rather courageous man called Cardinal Zen. Listen to something of what he has to say here.
I'm very, very sad to say that all this happened also because of the wrong policy in the Vatican, you see? Because they have done everything to give the church into the hands of the enemy. You see, the first act is that so-called secret agreement.
Right.
The second act is to legitimize the seven bishops.
The seven bishops who were excommunicated and part of the government-run church.
Now they're legitimized.
They've been brought in. They've been the excommunications have been lifted. They are now the legitimate bishops in the land.
And then the last act, even more terrible, the Holy See has encouraged everybody to join the Patriarchal Association, to come into the open, and to obey the government. That's terrible.
Now, what's going on here? I mean, in one sense, this is not a new story, because the Chinese communist government have signed an agreement, and they did it a couple of years ago, with the Vatican. But what it's done is it has, in effect, handed control of the church over to the Communist Party. It's an appalling mistake. Francis has made an enormous error here, as he's made several errors. It's going to be interesting to see what happens to the Catholic Church. He could be the worst thing to happen to the Catholic Church, you know, since four centuries. But this, I think this rather courageous cardinal, Catholic cardinal, is standing up and speaking out for the freedom of the church, and good for him. Well, the Chinese church may be under pressure, but so is the Episcopal Church in the United States, where a report came out recently that, you know how we talk about year zero for carbon, so people want to be carbon free by 2050. Well, it looks like America is going to be Anglican-free by 2050, because this report says that having from 2008 to 2018, they experienced a 25% decline in average Sunday attendance and a 17.5% decline in baptized members. It appears, said the spokesperson, a church that appears to be dying. It's very sobering. But you know, there's something really fascinating here. I've noticed that in a dying or declining church, denial is absolutely massive. And the spokesperson said this, that the decline might be less showing a dying church and more one that is becoming something we have yet to imagine. This kind of thinking looks nothing like we've ever done before. We don't have the current knowledge or solutions to address this work. No. See, it's quite simple. Your church is dying because people are not becoming Christians. And people are not becoming Christians because you're not preaching the gospel. Because you've removed the gospel and replaced it with some kind of social commentary. And you think, like Bishop Gene Robinson, the gay bishop, and others as well, you think, if only we have people like this, then of course we're radical and people will want to come to us. No, they don't. They don't want to come to you. You're dying. And you're dying because you're not communicating the gospel. And because you're not communicating the gospel, you're not the Church of Jesus Christ. And, you know, who cares if the Episcopal Church dies, but the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, I go to an Episcopal Church here, and it's part of the Church of Jesus Christ. There are Episcopal churches in the United States that are as well, but there are many that are not. Okay, a couple of other things before we go. This is an interesting piece about Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO and Facebook co-founder, who once was an atheist, but in a recent interview has said he is no longer an atheist.
Given how complex modern society is and all the challenges that we face, you have to believe in things that are bigger than yourself, no matter what form that takes. And I grew up, I'm Jewish, and you know, I mean, so I grew up with that, and that culture has been really important to me. But I mean, but certainly, I think it's a combination of the challenges that we've been through as a company, and having kids, right? So now, I mean, I have two girls, 4 and 2, and you know, I just want them to grow up with. with those traditions too, so yeah.
Since the last few years have been humbling for me, I thought like I knew a lot about how to build something, and now I realize I don't. Well, I think there's just a comfort in knowing and having confidence that there are things that are bigger than you. Well, that's great, but I mean, it is good. That's the pattern. God often humbles us. Okay, one other person, Jordan Peterson. Listen to some of this story from a video from his daughter.
Hi, everyone. It's been months since we've given an update on Jordan or my family's health, and it's time for one, so here it is. The last year has been extremely difficult for our family. Dad was put on a low dose of a benzodiazepine a few years ago for anxiety following an extremely severe autoimmune reaction to food. He took the medication as prescribed. Last April, when my mom was diagnosed with terminal cancer, the dose of the medication was increased. It became apparent that he was suffering from both a physical dependency and a paradoxical reaction to the medication. A paradoxical reaction means the drugs do the opposite of what they're supposed to. These reactions are rare, but not unheard of. For the last 8 months, he's been in unbearable discomfort from this drug, made worse when trying to remove it, because of the additional withdrawal symptoms stemming from physical dependence.
Well, Jordan Peterson is recovering from a severe addiction to benzodiazepine tranquilizers, and he's been recently near death and in a coma. Now, I have a lot of time for Jordan Peterson. I think he's a fascinating character. I think he has done a great deal of good, and I love listening to his stuff often. I don't agree with it, but he's always stimulating. And I do sense there's a real compassion and a real desire to help people. I did say a while ago that I thought that having to take on the burden of savior of the world, or at least savior of millions of young men, was a bit much for any human being to carry. And it appears that that's part of the case. But you know the thing that's really saddened me about this? The number of people who cannot stand Jordan Peterson, or who don't like his ideas, who have gleefully jumped on this news. What a sad, sick, and cruel world we live in. And especially, dare I say it, I mean, in so many ways, but especially amongst those who claim to be progressive and loving, they delight in seeing a man brought near to death by illness. Okay, I am going to love you and leave you. We'll see you next week. Please feel free to support Quantum on the Podbean fundraiser. And again, please feel free to keep sending us in news from all over the world. That is really tremendous when you do that. You know, we started with some music from Korea. I want to finish with some German music from Australia. I was walking in the CBD and went into a theater where they had a lunchtime concert. And this was the music that was playing, Beethoven. I just had such a lovely 45-minute break listening to this. Music is such a powerful thing for us, and one of the great gifts that God has given to us. And I pray that we would use it for His glory. If you're a musician, feel free to let us know the kind of stuff that you produce. But may you use the gifts that God has given you for His glory. And wherever you are, may you enjoy these gifts. May you enjoy the gift of music, the gift of food, the gift of hospitality. May you enjoy the world that God has given us, the God who is good and the giver of all things good. See you next week. Bye.